Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to the show. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Epps.
And I'm Amy Masson.
Our guest today is Sabrina Zaidan, a freelancer who speeds up websites and is the creator of a plugin called SpeedGuard, which monitors site speed daily and sends notifications when it needs attention. Welcome, Sabrina.
Hi, everyone.
We like to start off each episode by asking our guests to tell us about their journey into WordPress. How did you get started?
It was a while ago, I think 10 years or something. I was a graphic designer and we needed a simple website for our agency. So I was looking for some options and there was a promise of 5-minute install, you know. So I tried WordPress. It wasn't 5 minutes install, but it was quite easy to deal with after what I tried before. So I kind of continued sticking to it. And a while after, I was taking care of this website, and a while after, I found out it's much more interesting to add some functionality, to change random things than doing design. So I kind of moved to programming and learning PHP and stuff.
So it seems like, you know, you're right now you're doing the speed up process, which is really important with websites, but what was your track from just getting started to where you are now developing plugins?
It wasn't like, you know, a straight line. I was just
of course
doing,
not.
Yeah, I was just doing what I was interested in, and one of the things I was really in and still I am interested in is WordPress multi-site. And there was one project that we were doing with WordPress multi-site. It was 100 and something websites on the single installation. And it was really like resource demanding because lots of people on all of the websites were doing something. They were not just visiting a website. They were doing something on the website. And all this network was slowly becoming very slow. It was like gradually becoming very slow. And in the end, it was keeping crashing the server and everything. And I started to learn how to make it work again, how to make the whole thing more productive, more performant, and to keep things lean and sane. That's how I started with speeding up websites.
That's very, I have run into that. I've had a multi-site actually. So I have one multi-site that has, I don't know, any sort of thing I just spin up. And so it's probably around 50 sites and stuff like that. So I totally understand that struggle. And then it's like, where do you even start? So like, what was your kind of process? Like, how were you going about that? Like other, you know, streamlining, you know, plugin or streamlining the themes and stuff. How did you get into like basically making a plugin for that?
I was just looking for something for myself. So I was already doing something for other people speeding up their websites. And after, so usually the process is like this. There is a website that is not doing like good and not doing very bad. So it's not like it needs refactoring or complete renovation, but they just want to make it work. So they hire me, I do my bit, and it looks exactly like it was before, but it runs more faster or less slower, right? But afterwards, they and me also want to know that everything is going all right a month later, 2 months later. So I was looking for some tool that will be monitoring their website afterwards, after I finished the work. But I wanted it to be monitoring only those pages that I would like And also, I didn't want, all these notifications and to pay much attention to it. I wanted only to be notified if something went wrong, so I can take a look at it. And that was the whole point. I was looking for some tool and I didn't find one. So I just built something for myself, and then I was thinking maybe someone else will make use of it also. And I printed it up and released, and turned out people use it also. Other developers use it, a lot of marketers use it. And I'm happy they do.
That's really awesome. That seems to be a running theme, especially with like all the women that we've been, you know, talking with. It's like, yeah, I couldn't find it, so I just did it. I mean, that's just what you do. That's awesome. I mean, that's really great.
I definitely think that's a thing women do. You know, what I needed didn't exist, so I created it. And that's awesome. So let me ask you about this speeding up, because what I find, you know, I have people that come to me too with slow sites, and they're like, you know, can you make it better? And, you know, you set up all the different optimizations. But what frustrates me is, you know, I do all the optimizations and you run the speed test and you get like the green lights and the A's, but then it's still slow. Like, you know, I'm passing the test with a 9-second load time. What's your take on that?
I gave a few talks about speed optimization. And I think each of one contains the example of websites that have like something from 95 to 100 points and they load awfully slow. Because scores and green lights, they don't really mean your website is fast. They can just pay attention to some things, but to test website speed for real users, you gotta to test real speed in milliseconds and to see what's going on there. And now you can do this with a Lighthouse, but the tool I prefer to use is webpagetest.org, because when you test your website speed with Page Speed Insights, which uses Lighthouse technology, you don't know from where the tests are made, you know, where the testing server is. So the site speed for the same site will be different for you and for me. In the US and in Ukraine, it will be different. And when you run tests in Page Speed Insights, you can't see that difference, and you can't see the actual number for your real users. And that's the whole problem with it.
Yeah, I have a web host who I migrated to because he has really great performance on the servers, because he has the servers optimized with enough CPU and memory and other tweaks to make the sites run fast. And he does a lot of site speed optimization talks at WordCamps. And one thing that he says also is those letter scores really don't mean anything. You just ignore the letter scores. And what you'll use is that tool that you said, webpagetest.org. And he loves, that's his favorite tool too. So it's great to hear you say that, because it can provide you real diagnostics about the site, where if you could really look at the waterfall and see what's really slowing things down, it gives you a lot more valuable data and repeat tests. And it's an amazing tool. It's a little intimidating because it shows so much and you have to get to know how to use it and what settings to use and all of that. But do you find when you go to optimize a site, do you ever have to recommend to people that they remove certain plugins, that a particular plugin or third party call is really the source of the problem, that you can't really compensate for that too much?
You see, it's very usual thing that some particular plugin slows down the things. But usually, people are not so willing to change their system in general. For example, I don't know, like, for example, they're using some particular booking plugin that they don't want to switch to anything else, and it's rather slow. I might, in my report, I might mention that this plugin causes like this percentage of problems, but without removing it, we can do some other stuff as well that will speed up. Like, for example, you have your site loading in 6 seconds for now. If we replace this plugin with something else more efficient, we will have 5 seconds. And if we do so, so, and so, we will have, for example, 3 seconds. So we can do something and have 4 seconds and keep that plugin, which a lot of people would prefer to.
So what things can you do if you do have a plugin that is very resource intensive? Mm-hmm. How would you go about helping to speed up the site overall to compensate for that resource intensive plugin?
Caching, a lot of stuff for like
a lot of caching.
So I do front end optimization. I optimize the website for users. I don't do server optimization, for example.
Yeah.
Right. So what I can do, even if it's like very demanding plugin, what I can do, first of all, I can turn on and tune the settings for caching. Then I can defer the order on which mm-hmm. these plugins are executed. Mm-hmm. Also, I can do something completely different, not touching that plugin at all. It will still be slowing down the website, but I can find some other bottleneck
yes.
that I can remove, and this way like mitigate the impact of that plugin, which is not like it's not a bad option usually, because people don't really care how it would be done. They just want it to be faster, and they want to keep their usual workflow. That's what I'm doing.
That makes a lot of sense. Like if they have lots of megabytes of images or other things, like those are low-hanging fruit you can fix, and then it helps allow exactly. for more resources for the thing that really needs it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing. I'm not trying, and also when I talk about site speed optimization, I never say that you need to have like all boxes checked. You don't mm-hmm. need that at all. It's not like, and I don't need that at all, and people don't need that at all. It's not my life goal to check all boxes. I just need to make it faster. And if there are some low hanging fruits, why not doing that?
So with the site optimization stuff, and as a developer, do you pretty much solely focus on the site optimization, or do you still do other kind of programming as well, freelance?
I sometimes rarely do some other contractor work, but mostly it's site optimization. I learned how to turn the service into like productized service. And I did this. I made like a product out of my service. So I sell an audit first, and then I make a list of bottlenecks and what should be done to fix these bottlenecks. So what the current state of things and what it can like. Right now, your website speed is so and so. There are a few bottlenecks. I can fix them. And your website speed will be so and so, and this will take me so long and that much money. That's my offer. And if I won't reach the forecast that I predicted, I'm not taking money. So for clients, it's pretty nice offer, I think, because from those people who order audit from me, performance audit from me, almost everyone afterwards order the performance optimization service. So I learned how to, it's everything thanks to WordPress community. I'm learning like a whole bunch of stuff about like marketing and business and everything thanks to the community. Actually, about the plugin and the community, we started this show with Nathan Wrigley about my plugin. I'm trying to grow it, right? So we started a show in WP Builds group. to show what I'm doing with it and what results I've got. And we have like huge feedback from the community. People are coming, and people who already did this, who had grown their plugins to some nice numbers, they're coming to watch the show and to give advice what I can do next. And I don't know, this is like the most wonderful thing about WordPress community, that you just want to do things and people are willing to help you with.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. And so you're in the Ukraine. What's the community like there? And I know you travel a lot, because I met you in Berlin at WordCamp Europe. However, gosh, it seems like 17 years ago, but it was just over a year ago, right? So what's the community like around where you are, and or do you travel around when we were able to travel?
So in Kyiv, it's me and another guy who are co-organizers of the meetup. I think it's just last 2 years when we started to do this, like, really regularly on a monthly basis, each month without with no blanks, we are going to meet up. But as everywhere, we moved to online, sadly, now. But yeah, before that, we were meeting each month, and it was usually in the pub. We were having few talks and then few beers, and it was so much fun. I don't know.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. I think, who was it? I think it was Anna from Spanish community, who told me that it will work much better with beers. You should try to add beer to your meetup. And we did. And really, really, it helped a lot.
Sounds about right.
I mean, it would help me.
Yeah, I'm in Milwaukee, so of course it would help. Yes.
So I'm learning about, I'm reading up on your plugin, SpeedGuard. So tell us a little bit about what it does and how you came up with it.
Just like I said, I was looking for something for myself to monitor a site speed. You know, usually when people perform site speed tests, they test homepage, but your homepage, it's not your site, it's just your homepage. So also when I was looking for two, I was thinking that I want to monitor specific pages which are important pages on the website. What are the important pages? First of all, it's landing pages, right? The one where you put traffic on, or you pay for advertising or something. And also, it's if it's WooCommerce site, it's product pages, or it's archives pages, or anything, right? So I was looking for something where you can just type in the name of the page and have it monitored. And that's what it does. You just type in the title of the page, whether it's a WooCommerce product or it's a page, or post, or any other custom post type, and you can add it. And then you have it monitored every day. Right now, it uses PageSpeed API, and it shows your largest contentful paint, which is like the time when the largest content on your page, whatever it might be, whether it's a slider, or it's like the header image, or anything. It shows the time when this largest content on your page is loaded. And this way, you have not only your homepage monitored, but the whole site monitored, and you see the average number for... Oh, I can hear a dog. It's Amy's dog. Okay, we defined. Right. We had WordCamp Kyiv a year ago, and I adopted a dog just a week before that, and I was too nervous to leave her at home alone, so I took her with me to WordCamp Kyiv to the whole day of conference. She was there, and everyone was like playing with her and looking after her, taking her for a walk and stuff. And then there was after party, right? So she was with us as well. Then after party, we went after party to the nightclub, and she was sleeping in the nightclub under all these bags, you know? Yeah, that was fun.
That's so adorable.
Hi, women and WP listeners. This is Angela with a quick message from our sponsor, WP Remote. WP Remote is a dedicated care plan platform that can help fuel your agency's growth with maintenance care plans for your clients' websites. WP Remote provides an automated workflow for you to manage multiple sites from a central dashboard with one-click updates, incremental backups, automated malware scans, firewall, uptime monitor, and more. WP Remote is created by the same great folks behind Blog Vault, Malcare, and Migrate Guru. Save time, increase your revenue, and make your clients happy by trying WP Remote for free today at wpremote.com/womeninWP. And now on with the show. In developing your plugin, what kind of skills did you need? Did you need to know PHP? What kind of technical skills did you have, and what did you need to learn in order to create that plugin?
Yeah, you definitely need to know some. I'm not saying I'm like a huge expert in PHP, but you need to know how to code, obviously. It depends on what your plugin is doing. You know, there are some pretty easy plugins to build, but they give a lot of value for users. Like, let me think of some example. You know these plugins that will insert something in your header or footer? Yeah, this is like super easy to build, this kind of plugin, but for people who are not coders, this plugin can be really, really valuable. My plugin is not, unfortunately, it's not like this. It was a little bit harder to build it. But I used boilerplate for that, and it took the whole load off me. And also I used API. First it was WebPageTest API, and now it's PageSpeed Insight API. So I just needed to bundle all this together and to produce a product.
That's amazing, because when we interviewed Stephanie Wells with Formidable Forms, and we were talking about how few women plugin developers there were in the WordPress.org repo, and she said, women just need to have, you know, just do it. Just do it. You can always get help with it, but you know, women just need to have the courage to just, if you do see a problem and you want to solve it, then take that step and make it happen. And that's really amazing that you decide to do that. Did you feel that in doing that, did you have to learn anything? Was there anything that you felt like you really hit your head up against as you were going through the process that you did need to stretch yourself in the process?
Yeah, of course. But I think, just like you said, there were much more going out. The point of going out of comfort zone was to start doing this. And I think I would never start doing this if I didn't do a public commitment to do this. So at our WordPress meetup, I said that before our next meetup, I will do a draft version.
And wow.
I would have felt so bad if I didn't do this. I understand that no one would ever mention this. Probably guys would forget about this the next day after I said that, you know. But for me, it meant something. I promise something to someone, even if it's like this that I know that won't impact anyone or something. But for me, it meant something when I said it out loudly. And I don't know. Yeah, this accountability thing, it matters, I think. It's nice to have to tell someone that you are going to do this and there is a date before which you are going to do this.
Wow.
I agree. I'm kind of the same way. And it's like, if there's like this undefined, like, and I have to, like, if I have like a deadline and this, and then I can, like, that is what inspires me and helps me to create the steps to be able to do it. Otherwise I'm like, well, I mean, I could just do whatever. And,
exactly. I like have the whole life to fulfill this, right?
Yep. And you can't do that as employed. Like, so learning those, like what the tricks are of like, okay, I'm going to say it out loud. So it makes it real. And mm-hmm. I am accountable for that. And here's the deadline and here's what it like. So that's really, yeah.
That's how this podcast happened. Amy cracked the whip. She's like, we have a date. Yeah. We're going to make it happen.
I put it on Twitter.
She put it on.
I had to do it. I couldn't bail. Now look where we are.
This is what happens.
So what are you most looking forward to as you are now a plugin developer and you're doing this? What do you hope to become, to move? I can't even say that well. I mean, how do you hope this is going to evolve for you down the road?
I don't really know. I'm excited to know, you know. I know what I enjoy doing for sure. I like coding. I like teaching. I like speaking. But, and of course, I like speed. Not just light speed, I like speed in every type of speed. But I don't really know. I would like to have to see this plugin used by many other people, right? But also, I think I will just go with the flow and we'll see how it works out.
I think that's a good business plan, especially now. Let's see where it goes. So you've spoken. Where all have you spoken?
Oh.
Do you have a list?
No, not really. Yeah. But yeah, it was in Berlin, in Vienna, London a few times, Brighton, and Long Beach in California.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. All over the place.
Yeah, all over the place. But you know, the hardest talk was the first one, the very first one at our WordCamp WordPress Kyiv meetup. I was involved with WordPress since 2010, I think, but I never knew there is such thing as WordPress community. I had no idea at all. And then I was just in such stage of my life that I was thinking that I know something that I can share. It was about building a network of websites with multi-site. And I just looked for the place where I can share it. And all of a sudden, there was WordPress community in Kyiv. And I applied to talk there. And then someone got back to me and said, yeah, we will be happy to listen to your talk. And I never did public speaking before. And I was so nervous about this. This was like, I can't even say it was a challenge because it was over my challenge expectations at all. I was so nervous that I even went to the theater before that. You know, this tries like audition in theater they have, where you have to sing, to dance, to tell the story, to tell the anecdote and stuff. I never did anything like this before, and it was like so embarrassing to me. But I was thinking, if I can live this through, if I can pass the theater thing through and live after this, survive after this, probably it will be not that scary to talk about something I know, like WordPress multi-site at that meetup. So I went to that theater audition thing, and it was such a humiliation. It was awful. Like, I felt awful. And my story and everything was awful. They were not even able to listen till the end. It was so bad. But.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is Amy's worst nightmare.
Yeah. It really is.
It was my worst nightmare. But after that, it wasn't that scary to go to a WordPress meetup and talk in front of people whom I never met before about WordPress multi-site. It was much easier to do that. And it turned out that people there, I never met them before, but it turned out that they were so friendly, and they met me as a friend from the very beginning, you know, and we made friends like from the start. And I just got involved in this WordPress community thing from the start, and I never wanted to leave it again.
So that's you're saying awesome. That in order to be successful at speaking, you need to go and sing and dance somewhere and embarrass yourself?
It was my way to do this. I think probably someone has a better way to do this, but
okay.
Yeah.
No, I am actually giving a talk next week that I can't believe I agreed to. I'm speaking to a group of teachers about being an entrepreneur. So I'm trying to work on that now, so I'm ready. And I don't know, you know, why would teachers care about this? That's what I'm trying to figure out. But I already agreed to give the talk, so I have to do it. So any tips?
See, this is the commission. You can't bail it, right? So this is the first tip. You just need to deal with it, and that's it. And no matter how bad it will be, you will survive.
True.
That's true. I will survive.
Yeah. Practice recording videos and of you dancing or something.
Oh yeah, definitely not dancing.
Yeah, get some TikTok on before that talk.
I'm no Tracy. I'm not quite up to her TikTok skills. Tracy's the TikTok queen now.
Oh.
I'm just way too old for that app, but yep, I love it.
I'm a TikTok lurker, so I watch it.
Yeah. Sabrina, I love that you started with the 5-minute install. I wanted to circle back to that because I also started with the famous 5-minute install. I don't know that people these days, honestly, these days, I don't know that anyone knows about the famous 5-minute install, because 10 years ago, it was the only way. Maybe was it the only way? Maybe going back a tiny bit further. But I mean, for a while there, it was the only way to install WordPress. There weren't these auto installers at web hosts. And so I feel like you learn a lot just by having to install WordPress in a more manual way. So I think that's cool. It took me, honestly, 2 hours to do the famous 5-minute install, but it got done.
Exactly. I can't remember how long it took me, but I can remember that after I accomplished the whole thing, everything was going wrong all the time, like some errors and white screens. It was a nightmare. But I don't know, it was so interesting to dig into this and to learn why it's not working.
Yep. You've learned through like all those mistakes. When it doesn't work is when you learn. When it works, you learn nothing.
Exactly.
Well, and it's funny because like I'll like because I did have to troubleshoot and like, you know, do things in the database and figure out that, and like, so now when things go wrong with an auto install, like especially when I was teaching this at the university, I was like, yeah, so this is how we used to do it. Understand the, at least the process, and understand how, because then when things go haywire and like everything is on fire, this is how, like, this is what's going on behind the scenes, so you can actually go into the server and do this and find this and this. Yeah, it's invaluable. It was frustrating at the time, but now, like, so much more prepared for when things are on fire.
Yeah, because you really understand that there is a database. And there is a WordPress application.
Thanks so much for being here today. Before we go, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
They can find me online. It's my Twitter handle. That is Sabrina_Zeidan. And LinkedIn or Facebook, it's my name and last name everywhere, Sabrina Zeidan. And my website, which is surprisingly, SabrinaZeidan.com.
And you we know? Do have all the links to your WordPress.tv.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, it took me so long to decide what my personal website should look like when I was choosing a domain name. I was thinking, like a few years ago, I was thinking, all right, I need a personal website. How should I call it? And I had the whole bunch of names that I came up with, how I should call my personal website. Then I saw my brother's, he's a DJ in Paris. I saw his website that was his name and his last name, HeidiZidane.com. And I was thinking, all right, why this never occurred to me to call my personal website SabrinaZidane.com? I think this is something that takes like just like speaking and some other stuff we are afraid of. It takes courage to call something by your name. And now it seems so natural to me. Everything is SabrinaZidane.com. I even leave comments like when I code, I leave comments SZ with my name. And it's easy to find, and it seems to me like a normal thing to do right now. But I can remember that a few years ago, it seems like revolutionary, like a rebellion to me to use my name.
Yeah, I get that. My name is my business, because then it's like my name is on the line.
Yeah.
This is gonna be good. It's cool. I love it. It's a good way to look at it.
And I think there's something very valuable about like being online in your own name. And I find that I am less likely to say something or write something that I'm going to regret when it's, you know, there for everybody with my name on it.
But also, I think from other hand, it gives you a freedom as well when you use like your like company name. You need to consider the whole company, the whole bunch of people who are behind this name. But when it's your personal name, you can answer for yourself only, and you can really tell what you think is needed to be told.
Yes, I agree.
Love it.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.